waitress in a cocktail bar. When I met you, I picked you out, I shook you up and turned you around, turned you into someone new. Now 5 years later on, you've got the world at your feet.
Success. And welcome back again. You are listening to Breaks Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo.
Don't.
Oh, you had me.
Don't you want me?
Oh, I don't think so. Let's go to Trisha. All right, Trisha and Eric in studio. So this is a song from the
30s. Walking on Sunshine.
Bing Crosby and
80s. Bob Hope.
Bob Hope. And of course. Remember him.
By the way, we're going to have a little treat from the 80s probably next week, if not the week
after. Oh, this isn't the 80s treat?
No, this is. Don't you want me, baby?
Uh-huh. Don't you want me? You're the whole
choir. Okay. Well, before Shalita Grant hangs up, we want to bring
out
our...
Sounds like she did.
I know.
I was going to start singing, but I was like, that might be weird.
Oh, wait. Let's do that again. I want to hear you sing.
Well, thank you so much. Shalita Grant is joining us to talk about her new PBS Civil War drama series, Mercy Street. We know her from so many other things. You know, I told Trisha that we had Shalita Grant on the show, and she was excited because she knows you from...
Oh, yes, from NCIS New Orleans. I've seen your Bones episode. And it was funny because as soon as I saw your picture, I was like, oh, I love her. So we're excited. We're so excited. But, you know, it's kind of funny as I didn't even hardly recognize you in this drama.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of schmacting, you know? You throw a
and our
head and I become someone else.
And we're streaming live on online, stream, STRE.AM, as well as on the radio. So we're hearing from our listeners and our viewers, and people are really excited. They're saying, no way, is that really her? They said, that's Shalita from Bones. Mm-hmm. So they're very thrilled.
Yay.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Mercy Street. I know we'll probably talk about Bones and everything as well, but, you know, Mercy Street premieres on Sunday, January 17th. So that's next Sunday at 10/9 Central on PBS. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Mercy Street is a medical drama that takes place during the Civil War. It's based on a true story of a Mansion House hospital. Alexandria has been sacked by the Union and is now a Union city. And one of the big hotels has been repurposed into a hospital for both Union and Confederate soldiers. So it's sort of an upstairs, downstairs kind of drama. PBS's first foray into original programming in like 35 years. So they're looking to give the Downton Abbey audience something else to watch that is American-made. So that's our little drama.
Wow.
Well, and some of the blurbs I was hearing about it is, you know, that you went from basically having been a slave, right, to mm-hmm. now working in this hospital and having freedom, right?
Yeah. So I play Aurelia Johnson. She manumitted herself. She escaped during the Civil War and has escaped further north in Virginia. And she's gotten this job as a laundress in the hospital. And she's there, you find out, because she's waiting to be reunited with some very important people. And she asks her boss, Silas, if he could help her in getting reunited. And you see how that relationship plays out.
Wow. And now, of course, you've had so many amazing roles. We were talking about them during the break with our online listeners. The Good Wife, Bones, Melissa and Joey, Battle Creek, like we said, NCIS, New Orleans, just to name a few.
Did you just say New Orleans?
I'm sorry.
Nolens.
I know.
We'll forgive you. It's because you. Yeah.
Carla Hall would probably be upset with the way I pronounced that as well. But yeah, so does it make it any different when you're filming a role like this, where it's, you know, historical and you know, kind of based on fact?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I got this job. I got Mercy Street just as we were wrapping NCIS New Orleans. I shot the audition in my kitchen in L.A., and I went back to New Orleans to film, and then while I was there, I heard that I got the job, and so I was actually flying back and forth during the last episode of NCIS New Orleans last year, the season one, and filming Mercy Street. So that was a bit of a head tangle, not to mention the time zone differences. At the start, it was a little difficult, just the logistics of it. But, this Mercy Street was really hard. It was really hard emotionally, just because the climate that we're in right now, socially, it doesn't feel very much different. So in how hard it was emotionally to do, it was kind of the easiest role to prep for, in that I decided that I was going to watch the videos. I was going to, you know, read the think pieces. I don't live with a television in my home. I haven't lived with one in years. So I don't get like a 24-hour news cycle. But when I'm in hotels, of course, they have the television. So I kept them on the different news stations. And so when we were filming, this was during the McKinney pool party. This was during the Charleston massacre. This was during, you know, all of the really heavy, awful stuff that was happening that we were talking about nationally, and then finding all of the other things that didn't make the media cycle that were, you know, terrible. Just really reading that and watching that, you know, it really helped prep for the oppression and the degradation of that period.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, unfortunately, there's a lot of parallels with what's going on now. And that's huge for you in your real life.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. I mean, I said in a few previous interviews that, you know, my initial hesitation with playing a slave and doing that whole thing was like, you know, I don't really know what that is like. You know, we've come so far, and, you know, I want to make sure that I do a good job and that I'm not doing a stereotype and that I'm, you know, really involved in the humanity of it. But it's really scary to do because of all of the traps, right? But when I was able to really sit down and think about it, Aurelia Johnson is in this pivotal place in her life and in the country. She was a slave. She was owned by other people. And now she's in a place in the country where the country is in upheaval. There is half the country that thinks that black people need to be enslaved for the country to move forward. And there are people who believe that black people should be set free in order for the country to be to move forward. So black people are in the center of the conversation in a way they hadn't been in, you know, decades. And their freedom is part of that conversation in a real way. And so people are willing to lose their lives to fight for their answer to that question, the black problem, the black people. What are we going to do about them? And so she's able to set herself free. She's taken her life into her own hands, and she has played into what we now look at as respectability politics. If I work hard enough, you know, that meritocracy, if I work hard enough, I do it myself, then my circumstances can be changed. So she plays into that. She sets herself free. She escapes further north, and she gets herself a job where she's able to be paid, which is, again, a foreign concept, because our labor was seen as, you know, something that we had to do. It was compulsory. It wasn't a choice. And it was certainly something that we couldn't be paid for. That's laughable. So she's being paid. And so she's experiencing freedom. And she says, you know, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to give goods for services. I'm going to offer money for a service. And what she in turn gets is, this is business as usual. Your body is not your own. Your freedom is in name only. And so I was thinking about my own life. You know, I'm 27. Like, what do I have that is even close to what that experience is. And I thought about, wow, in 2008, when Barack Obama was elected, that was my pivotal life-changing moment. I was at Juilliard when I voted, and Barack Obama was elected. And I remember the day after, walking from the dorms at Juilliard to the school, and I remember like feeling a weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I didn't realize that I had a weight to begin with. And I was thinking about it, like, wow, like I come from nothing. Like I come from like this small town in Virginia. You know, I wasn't bred for this life, but look at me. I'm at Juilliard. I did this. You know, we got Oprah, Beyonce's a thing. We got a black president. Like, wow, I'm so proud. Like, this is so awesome. And then, you know, 8 years later, I can just go to YouTube and see black and brown men and women being gunned down in the streets. And then, you know, reading things that are calling into question our humanity, whether or not we are deserving of justice, whether or not we are deserving of even the conversation, you know, because we've brought it on ourselves somehow. And so that's my experience. That's as close as I get to that. And so how do I respond and what do I do? And so I was thinking, you know, for this interview, like, wow, you know, her journey through this six-part miniseries, you know, what are other things that come out of this TV series in this character? And it's the stereotype of the strong black woman, you know, the domineering, you know, black woman that, you know, it gets what she will run over anybody, and, you know, where that kind of comes from. And it was just like, you know, there's this confusion, this idea that black women are willfully domineering. And the truth is, you know, black women are resilient and display courageous strength in the face of adversity, not as a matter of choice, but of need. And so society faults black women for surviving circumstances instead of providing support for all that we've endured and continue to deal with, you know, this tremendous social injustice. So, you know, that's Aurelia's story. She's facing adversity, and you watch how she tries to cope, and a lot of black women are coping in the same way.
Yeah, yeah. And if anyone's just now joining us, we are speaking with actress Shalita Grant on behalf of her new six-part miniseries, Mercy Street. It premieres Sunday, January 17th on PBS. And, you know, sounds like just such a deep program, and it's got to be so, it means so much more when you learn something about yourself out of that as well. No, Tricia?
Yes, exactly. And I think what Shalita was just saying about, you know, the strength and resiliency of black women, or particularly in this case, Aurelia, and this transformation. You have your expectations of what something is going to be, what freedom will be in her case, what freedom will be like. And then you have the reality, and it has how you deal with the dissonance between those two. You know, you can't just go, oh, poor me, it's not what I thought it was going to be. You need to make the best of what you have with that, and maybe change a little bit of your perspective and say, okay, this is the hand I've been dealt now, so what am I going to do with it? But Shalita, now, I'm excited about what you do as you. I love what you do on the screen as all these other people, but I love what you do as you with one of these organizations that you're working with, Undoing Racism, mm-hmm. and Community Organizing Workshops. When I was reading about that, when it says you're not just addressing the symptoms of racism, but actually undoing the causes of racism so as to create a more just and equitable society. Tell us a little bit more about how that happens, because that's one of the big things for me. I grew up in Oakland, and I went to high school and graduated in the 80s. And I was talking with some of my friends, and I said, you know, It's almost like racism is raising its head more now than it used to be. Do you find that, or do you feel that?
Those are very, very big questions. So I'll try to deal with whatever I can in the most concise way as possible. Yes, I do agree that there is violence that comes with the ideology of racism is definitely being covered more. But
Donald Trump doesn't
help. It belies people's experiences up until now to say that it's more. Our country is steeped in white supremacy and white supremacist ideologies. It's also steeped in patriarchy. So, you know, our entertainment, politics, finance, housing, we have those relics of white supremacy and patriarchy that are very, very, very strong. And what we're seeing now, these conversations and the coverage, is that it's the internet, really, that, you know, these communities, these outliers, are able to make their voices heard now and relentlessly. It is that, you know, now we're challenging these structures. We're challenging systemic racism. We are asking questions, and we are also holding people with privilege and power accountable for answering these questions. Why is it? Why is it? So we are really challenging, you know, the studio heads and the politicians and, you know, the people in power and who have privilege to answer these questions, to deal with how we are still in the same place. Why does power still look the same? And that's the thing that I love about People's Institute, is that they are dealing with the heart of racism. We are taught racism. That's something that we are taught, and it's in our society. And so you can tell a child, don't be racist, but there are ideas that a child gets through society, through just looking at their teachers, TV, you know, all of these cartoons and the way that the world works. You end up understanding how the world works and how racist the world actually is, how systemic it is. And it's not looking at individuals, like you drive a pickup truck, you have a Confederate flag, you hate black people, so you're a racist. No, racism it's a lot more insidious than that, and we all play a hand in it. So yes, we're talking about it more. Yes, we're questioning it more. And yes, people who feel like their position in society is being challenged and is slipping away are reacting. And that's what happened during Reconstruction. That's what happened during the Civil Rights Movement. And I feel like we're in our second wave.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, I think it's wonderful, though, also when we have entertainment sources, you know, such as Mercy Street and some of these other wonderful shows out there that we can watch. And I think sometimes that helps us to learn a little bit more about ourselves and try to help, especially when you see those parallels from the Civil War era to now. And I think that hopefully that will also help, where people will look at Aurelia and everything that has happened in her journey and be able to take home lessons from that as well.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you so much, Shalita Grant, on behalf of Mercy Street. Everyone, tune in PBS Sunday, January 17th. Again, on PBS, it's a 6-part miniseries. Everyone, check it out. It's called Mercy Street. I know we were running out of time in the segment, but we'd love to have you back sometime to talk about your other projects. But we cannot thank you enough for what an insightful conversation this has been, Shalita.
And what a talented young woman you are. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Yeah.
That's a topic we need to devote many hours to. And I think it's an important topic too, by the way.
Yes.
So we'll have to do that again.
And we're going to kind of stay on a similar topic in our next segment. We're going to talk about Border Town.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
A little more comedy to that one. Of course, a new animated series, so we'll talk about that one after
from
our
Seth
break.
Seth MacFarlane, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we've got one of the voice talents on from that. But first, let's play another song from Walking on Sunshine.
Let's see, do I know this one?
Close your eyes.
Trying to remember this one.
Oh, come on.
This is originally the Bangles.
Do you feel my heart beating?
I don't remember this one.
Understand? Eternal Flame? Come on, dude.
Do you feel the same?
I do know that one.
Didn't you play this on guitar in your band?
I probably did. Duh. You're right. We got to do a jam session.
Yeah, on the air.
I had to practice again, though. However, wow, I'm getting a good treatment in here. And
what's going on in there?
I don't know, but turn the lights
and
out.
And yes, Nick Swardston in a couple segments as well.
Oh, that will be awesome. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, we're all getting so comfortable.
We'll be right back.